This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathiran kathira. Amma ba'du, my brothers and sisters, there is an important thing to remember always, or the most important thing to remember always, which is that any matter, anything we do, the pleasure of it or the pain of it is temporary, but the effect of it, meaning the effect of that action on us, on our lives, especially in the Akhirah, remains. In some cases, the effect remains in the dunya also, but in the Akhirah, the effect remains. The action, if it gives some pleasure, it may give some pleasure in this life, or if it is painful, it is painful. But the effect of the action remains. You know, even in this world, if you look at our lives, there are things that are fun to do. They are really nice to do in the sense of enjoyment. But if you look at the effect of those things, either it is, there's no effect, meaning that they are value neutral, or they are actually harmful. One of the simplest ones is, for example, being with your friends, watching some game or something just before an exam, right? Now, watching the game is fun for those who like to watch games. But if you are going to do that before an exam, when really you should be studying, then you know the, I mean, I don't need to explain that, right? And the opposite of that, studying hard, being disciplined in your life, especially with what you eat, especially with physical effort, exercise, and so on and so forth. All of this is essentially painful, within quotes. But it has a longer-term effect, which is always, always, always beneficial. Muhammad Ali Rahmatullah Ali, the boxer, he used to say that if anyone says, "I love going to the gym," he's lying. He says, nobody loves going to the gym. You go to the gym because you know that otherwise, the next day you will lose in the ring. He's talking about the boxing ring. He said, you go to the gym because you know that if you don't go to the gym, if you do not work out, if you do not do your stuff there, then the next day you are going to lose in the ring. And that's what matters. The same thing in life. Our actions have temporary effects and permanent effects. The temporary effect may be pleasant or not, but the permanent effect remains with us. So for every action that we do, we need to ask ourselves, what is the likely permanent effect of this action? Now, I want to draw your attention especially to our relationships with people. And in that context, even more especially to the relationship which is so common, it is a very negative relationship, but it is so common that it is probably safe to say that at least in Bollywood, in India, this is the predominant theme of, I won't say every movie, but many, many, many movies. And that is the toxic relationship between a mother-in-law, father-in-law, and daughter-in-law. Right? In our Desi culture, you don't see sons-in-law coming in for this. At least I haven't seen any. But daughters-in-law, any number of times. Now, what amazes me is that we also have a culture of arranged marriages. So, the illogicality of it, the complete insanity of it, somehow doesn't seem to strike people. That here is a girl that these same parents-in-law, they went and they chose for their beloved son. And then when they bring her home, she gets married to their son, bring her home, then they spend the rest of their lives torturing her, right? Physical torture, mental torture. And the son is a spineless, you know, pyjama, who really shouldn't have been married at all. He should have been sitting tied to his mother's apron strings, because he's completely unfit to be married. If you cannot stand up for your own wife, then what kind of a man are you? I mean, you know, you should be ashamed to call yourself a man. But that is the reality. Now, think about this, that Rasulullah ﷺ said that the dua of the oppressed person reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any impediment, without any thing to stop it or to slow it down, even if the oppressed person is a non-Muslim, even if the oppressed person is a mushrik or kafir, even if the oppressed person is somebody who does not believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and does not pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't worship Allah, even then the dua, the supplication, the cry of the oppressed person reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish the oppressor, even if the oppressor is a Muslim. This is something which we quite justifiably, proudly say about Islam, that justice in Islam is not person-specific. Justice in Islam is the same for everyone across the board, irrespective of whether the person is a Muslim or a non-Muslim. Alhamdulillah. But it's not a matter of simply saying something proudly. It's a matter of demonstrating that, of living by that and demonstrating that. And that is where we fall apart. Now, this is something, as I said, in the Desi culture, in the Indo-Pakistani, Bangladeshi culture, this is very common, but maybe it's common also in other cultures. But please understand this. That's why I began with that. The effect, the action is temporary, the effect is permanent. Think about the worst case scenario in this, right? I mean, absolute worst case scenario, of course, is where the daughter-in-law is literally killed, right? And that is a ticket to Jahannam, without any doubt. That's a ticket to Jahannam for those who brought that about. Absolutely without any doubt. But even if that doesn't happen, eventually she can't suffer anymore and she gets a divorce and she goes away. She gets married to somebody else and she's living happily with the other person, right? Who's not a slime like the earlier one. And I know cases, I know specific cases like this where she got divorced and she went away and she's living happily with the other person. But remember, what you did to her will go into your grave with you, will be resurrected with you on the day of judgment, and will take you into Jahannam on the day of judgment. Because Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned this very clearly in the hadith. He said that there will be people who will come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment with good deeds the size of a mountain. But on that day, there will be a long line of people who will demand justice from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will ask Allah for justice for what you did to them in this life. Right? Now look at the face of your daughter-in-law and remember that you will see her face on the day of judgment, standing there before Allah. And then what did Allah, what did Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then give the good deeds of that individual, your good deeds, to the one that you oppressed. Whether it was your daughter-in-law, whether it was your servant, whether it was your employee, whether whoever it was, the person you oppressed will get those good deeds. So remember, every snide remark you make, every jibe you take at that poor girl who has no tongue in her mouth while she is living in your house, all the ways, different ways, and subhanAllah, I mean, some of these people, may Allah have mercy on them, they should have really been in the concentration camps of Hitler or something. I mean, they would have made fantastic torturers. They come up with creative ways of torturing people, mental torture, you know, and physical torture. It's an absolutely shameful thing to say that they call themselves Muslims. So they will be there. and they will be their good deeds, all the sadaqat and khairat and all the umrah holidays and all the hajj holidays, I'm saying this, using this term very deliberately, will go into the account of that same poor woman who you tortured. Right? Even though she stayed with you for a short period of time, and after that she left and she went away and she had a beautiful, fantastic life with her new husband, what you did to her will remain. And you will pay. Make no mistake. You will pay, and you will pay very dearly. And your dear beloved son, who did not stand up for his wife, who allowed that injustice to continue. And I've seen some great things. I've seen people saying to me that, my husband told me, or I said to my wife, this is how it is. You have to take it. I cannot offend my mother. Where did you learn this from? This is not in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not obey your parents if they tell you, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا. Allah said, do not obey them if they tell you to commit shirk. What is shirk? Shirk is to worship other than Allah. Shirk also is to do something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited. So if your parents, for example, tell you to gamble, or your parents tell you to drink alcohol, will you do that? So how come if your parents are oppressing your wife, you remain silent? Rasulullah said, if a Muslim sees something wrong, he must stop it with his hand. The famous hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he said he must stop it with his hand. If he cannot do that with his tongue, if he cannot do that, consider that to be the worst thing in his life. Consider that to be something which is despicable, and hold that in his heart. And that is a sign of the weakness of your faith. So how come you remain silent? You brought her, she is your responsibility, Mr. Husband. And if you do not have that spine, if you do not have that guts, how come you brought her to your house? How did you marry her and bring her? Because you are unfit to be married. Seriously, I mean, this is something which is so common, so widespread. I'm telling you, I'm saying this for your benefit. Because I don't want to see you standing on the day of judgment, losing all your good deeds. And Rasulullah said it will come to a point where there will be people who will lose all their good deeds, their mountain worth of good deeds will be gone, and the line of people they oppressed will still remain. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, now what shall I do? And of course Allah knows, and people will say, Allah, give my bad deeds to this person. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a person will go into Jahannam carrying somebody else's bad deeds. Fear Allah. Fear the day when you will meet Allah. If you have been ill-treating your daughters-in-law, if you have been ill-treating your employees, if you have been ill-treating your servants, subhanAllah, hamari zaban itni gandi hai. I have heard, right, in Hyderabad, somebody calling the driver, are kahan re? And if the fellow delays in coming, kya wa re? Bhaira hai, marga, sharam nahi hai. And that poor fellow with his head down, jine 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 saab, aishani saab, aishani saab. Kahi ko khairi hai balki. Because he is poor, you feel that you have a right to say all this. They ask him, the tone, the tongue, right? Alhamdulillah, we have, like Arabic, we have in Urdu, we have a language which is which has a lot of respect in it, right? So if you speak to somebody, you speak to them respectfully. This is true for most Indian languages. Tamil is the same, Malayalam is the same. We don't have this word you, right? So we don't use the word you for everything. So it's not a singular, it's a plural. How many times have you seen people addressing their servants as aap? Kyun nahi bolte bhai? Why don't you say aap? Because he's poor. Literally, you ask him to see, I'm deliberately not translating, but I don't want to spread this evil, but I'm the people, our Indian Urdu and Hindi speaking people who say these things, they understand what I'm saying. Please, please, please have mercy on yourself. Have mercy on yourself. Don't write your own fate in the Jahannam. For you, it's a word. For you, it's... But for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a huge thing. It's a major thing. And that poor person, whether it is your daughter-in-law, whether it's that servant, whether it's the person, they are lumping it, they are taking it because they feel helpless, they are powerless, there's no one behind them. But a day will come when they will stand. And believe me, the same thing applies the other way around. Husband, the same thing. I know cases where wives abuse their husbands, literally by foul language. I know cases where, for the same reasons, right? So what must you do? Go and apologize. Call that servant, call that daughter-in-law, call that husband, sit down with them and tell them, I am sincerely sorry, I beg you, please forgive me. Apologize, sincerely apologize, right? Believe me, no matter how difficult that might be, the time before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be difficult to a degree that I cannot even imagine. So no matter how bad it seems, do it and do it now. Do it before you drop dead. Or do it before that person drops dead. Because if that person or you die without being forgiven, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah will not forgive injustice until the person to whom that injustice was done forgives you first. So seek forgiveness and do it now. My brothers and sisters, think about this seriously. Think about this, that the most important thing that somebody mentions is in their last wasiyah, in their last, advice to people. What did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mention? Among the things that he mentioned in Arafat, in his last Hajj, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Be careful, beware of those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in your control. Beware of your women and those people who Allah has put in your control." He said, "You have authority over them by the will of Allah. Make sure you give them their rights. Treat them well. Do not ill-treat them." Right? This is the final advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's talking about treating the wives well. He's talking also about treating employees, and in those days they had slaves well. What do you think that means for us?
Every single word you use, every single abuse you use will come back to you. And on the day of judgment, it will become very costly. Very, very costly. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from ourselves. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to do that which is pleasing to Him and which is beneficial for us. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.